right now, we are going to keep the history rolling because we've got Max Orr here in the studio from Carolina Public Humanities for another round of Oh, the Humanities. And we're talking about a seminar that's coming up on Saturday, which we'll get to on Italy. But first of all, Max, thanks for being here again, as always, on Monday.
Hey, thank you. I survived Thanksgiving.
That's
and you?
Good. Yes, survived as well. I'm a little bit lighter, actually, because I got a haircut. I'm the only person who ended up emerging from Thanksgiving weekend lighter instead of heavier.
Well, you compensated for the turkey eating.
I almost certainly did not compensate for the turkey eating, but
well, it's
that's
good.
All right.
It's good to have you. As you know, sometimes November 27th is my son's birthday, so
happy birthday,
Evan. But it also is something. You know what I do? My gimmick.
Yes.
I bring you something that happened on this day. And this one is for our guest in particular. In 176 CE, if we can believe dates from that early,
yeah.
176 CE, Marcus Aurelius granted his son Commodus the rank of imperator and made him supreme commander of the Roman legions. The next year, apparently, I'm going to defer to our expert, he was named Augustus as well, becoming essentially co-emperor with his father Marcus Aurelius until Marcus Aurelius' death in 180. So in 176 CE, we have Commodus, who's most famous for a movie that completely made up his entire history.
I was going to say, and then in 181, Russell Crowe comes
in. Yes, Russell Crowe comes back.
Or something.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
And I do want to ask our guest a little bit about how accurate that knowledge is, because I got that right off the old internet. But born on this date in 1548 is Jacopo Mazzoni, an Italian philosopher and literary critic, a polymath. He was apparently a gimmick of the memory. You could ask him anything and he would remember anything you told him, and he would have these memory battles.
What was his name again?
Jacopo Mazzoni. Yeah, exactly. Nice. Good. Good, Aaron. You still got the comedies right there. He was also a pioneer in philology and logistics, and in particular was very interested in the history of the Italian language and studied the history of the Italian language at the time. He also attempted to reconcile Aristotle and Plato unsuccessfully. So these are completely thousands of years separating these two events, but they kind of speak to the challenge we have coming up this weekend with our seminar, Italy, Then and Now. This points to the scale of how do you, you know, combine this one area where we're talking about the Roman Empire and we have the modern state of Italy, and somehow we're going to pull these 3,000 years of history, at least 2,000 years of history together. You know, Italy only becomes a country officially in 1861, so we have a lot of things to cover. And luckily, I brought someone who's knows a lot about the now part and even more about the then part. And I want to introduce you to Richard Talbert. He is the William Rand Keenan Professor of History and our resident Rome expert. Welcome, Richard.
Richard Talbert.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. Yeah. I have to say that, first, you've given me a big agenda for this afternoon.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes to synthesize everything.
I too, have a son with a birthday today.
Really?
So, Patrick, if you're still awake in Valencia, Spain, and tuning in, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I didn't plan this, Aaron. I did not plan this.
This is synergy. This is really good.
They say if you get 30 people into a room, there's a better than 50% chance two of them share the same birthday. So this is only slightly statistically improbable.
So good. The second thing is to tick Max off because you've spoiled the whole business of the plot of the movie Gladiator. Because the one thing that Russell Crowe and friends got wrong, you remember, or they were trying to make a movie so they had to make it tense, was that Commodus doesn't know in the movie whether he is going to succeed his dad or not, or whether they're going to be rivals. But the fact is, yeah, as you've just spilled the beans, the two of them, father and son, were co-emperors, for as it turned out, the last 3 years of dad's reign. So the son knew that he could continue and become battier than ever and come to a bad end.
His birthday present on November 27th, yes. 176, was the beginning of this process, right?
Yes.
That's not too bad.
Yes. Yeah. But nonetheless, enjoy the movie.
On a scale of 0 to 100, and negative numbers are possible, how historically accurate is that movie compared to... Are we even in double digits on that? then?
We might be at 40 or so. But,
I think
don't worry about that.
Okay, well, right. It's entertainment.
Don't worry about
that.
Some of my classical colleagues have got tremendously upset about the fact that some of the features of the movie aren't faithfully accurate.
Yeah.
But so what? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Just sit back and enjoy.
You know what I tell my students, or what I tell those sort of naysayers who get very touchy about historical fiction or historical films? I say someday there's going to be a student who's going to come to you and say, I was inspired to become a major in Roman history because I saw this movie and I've learned so much that I didn't know before this movie. So these have value for inspiring people.
In my field, we had, thanks to the movie makers, we had a distinct uptick. We had what Roman historian instructors called the gladiator effect.
Oh, nice.
And enrollments, you could see the tables of the rising
Were there panels on the gladiator
conferences?
Oh, please tell me there were.
Right. There were sleepovers. There were pizza parties. There were orgies. Everything. Yes,
I assume you're not kidding about any of that.
Of course not.
Italy.
I guess it kind of brings up this what's so challenging about this seminar for us. And luckily we have Tobias Hoff, who can't be with us. He's going to handle the now part of it. But what's so fascinating is that you really are competing with a lot of ideas in our minds. Like the Romans represent the gladiators in people's minds, and Italy represents, pasta or something else in other people's minds. And putting these together and making it realize that we're talking about one geographical area that has this shared history and has some commonalities.
Right. No, I think we're going to see commonalities, actually, between ancient and modern. And with my modern colleague absent, I want to put in a plug for him, because one of the things surely he would want to quote is Count Metternich in the early 19th century at the Congress of Vienna, that sort of thing. Remember, one of his famous quotes was, Italy is just a geographical expression. It's not a nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a country that functions in a united way. And that's what you'd have to say for antiquity as well.
Well, there's one of the commonalities that I know both of you are going to be talking about on Saturday is the lack of commonality, right? The heterogeneity of Italy and how there is this very difficult process of trying to unify something. And the unification is not always great.
Far from
it.
And Rome does eventually, in one sense, unify Italy about 90 BC, but that's the result of an enormous amount of tension and strife, and it's a process which, frankly, the Romans mess up. They mess up big time, and that's not like Romans, because typically Romans were very open to others joining their community and their society. That's one of the ways in which they grew so effectively, because they gained manpower. But when it comes to this, when it comes to making the other peoples of Italy co-equals with themselves and Roman citizens, they don't want to do it.
Yeah,
and as a result, many of the allies finally lose patience and they go to war.
Was that just a mistake, or is that something just sort of endemic to Roman culture?
Well, I think if you want to blame one person for it, and we're always out for this, and this guy is of course a very good one to punch, Hannibal. Blame Hannibal. The Carthaginian
my favorite
Hannibal.
Song from South Park.
He gave Italians who weren't Romans hope.
Yeah, because the Romans managed to beat back Hannibal, but during Hannibal's war, many of the allies defected to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Romans, as you all know, pulled through, but at the end of it all, the Romans then distrusted their allies.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to see those allies become their equals, even though arguably those allies had won that promotion, that upgrade. So it's a very sad mess. It's a real mistake on the Romans' part. And as you probably know, there are many, many more civil wars, terrible civil wars the Romans get into later in the first century BC. And this is the first of them. This is the opener. And it's really nasty.
Go ahead.
Please,
yeah.
Aaron.
So we're speaking with Richard Talbert. You just heard him, history professor at UNC. Max Orr also here from Carolina Public Humanities. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there to find out more about Carolina Public Humanities, but also to get more information and to sign up for this seminar, which is taking place Saturday morning, December 2nd, called Italy Then and Now. Dr. Talbert going to be there. Tobias Hoff also going to be there presenting. And we talk in the humanities, we talk whenever Max comes on about the amount that we can learn from the humanities that we can apply to our present situation. And that's true of any field, including ancient history. And we look at the difficulty that the Romans had in unifying this large, multitudinous, heterogeneous, diverse society, and the mistakes that they made. We today live in a very large, heterogeneous, diverse society, and we can look out the window and see that we're clearly making mistakes today. So what do we learn from Rome that we can take forward?
That's a really big question. I think one of the things surely we learn, and I hope we are learning this, I think all of us, or most of us agree, we want to learn this, that we respect other people. We want to give other people space and opportunity. We don't expect everything to be done one way, and we don't want to make it too much of a winner's story. Mm-hmm. Because a winner's story can leave a lot of other people who are losing very bruised. And you may gain something by one group winning, but you can also lose by it. And this is very, very much, I think, an ancient story. And Rome brings some good things, there's no doubt about that. And the Romans, bless them, are interested ultimately in peace. They don't want to go on making war all the time, but it's very much got to be on their terms. They want you to start speaking Latin, and that's why Italy was a Tower of Babel of different languages. You think Etruscan, of course, is one of the most famous ones. Gradually, because of Rome pushing, Rome taking control, those local cultures, those local languages fade. And that's something that's a pity. That's a real loss.
Nothing lasts forever.
And that's a modern tale, yeah. Too. That's much a modern tale as well as an ancient one.
Yeah. Max, I interrupted you earlier.
No, so. I was just saying, certainly it seems like in the case of where you were talking about Rome and its allies, I'm thinking even in the current context, this tension between northern Italy and southern Italy terms of economics. And this starts, from a real sense that, the strongest people were the northern Italians, Cavour and the Piedmontese, Sardinian Piedmontese royalty and that considerably modern state. And then they go to southern Italy, and you have a completely different tradition. You have an agricultural society. You have law codes that are very different. And yet, there's always going to be winners and losers.
Sure.
Of course, Rome, we have the benefit of looking back on the several centuries of history by which these processes carry out. When we look at modern Italy, we're really, again, 1861 is not that long ago. It really is it's a considerable challenge, I think, to think about how these transitions take place.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Speaking with Max Orr, Richard Talbert, Italy Then and Now is the title of the seminar that's going to be on Saturday, 9 to 12:30 in the morning. Where is it going to be, Max?
This is going to be at the FedEx Global Center, but please go to humanities.unc.edu to sign up to make sure we have a seat for you.
Yep, absolutely. So humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there and find out more. What else do people need to know about the seminar that's coming up? What's it going to entail? Anything like that?
Well, we'll have two talks. We're going to do then first and then now. Historians.
Chronological order. I like that. Yes.
So we're going to do then
first. Confuse everyone.
And then now. And then we're going to have what I think really makes these seminars great are their question and answer sessions. Mm-hmm. And this is where, we're going to have two distinct presentations that I'm sure will acknowledge, what this is part of as a larger whole. But All of the great stuff, I think, happens when we open up our minds and think about how these things relate and we find those commonalities and distinctions. And so I'm looking forward to that part, especially.
And we may, for better or worse, find out that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
We hate to say it as historians, but it's always true.
All right. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Italy Then and Now is the seminar. Sign up for it on the website. It's Saturday morning from 9 to 12:30. Dr. Talbert, Dr. Orr, thank you so much for being here today.
Always a pleasure, Aaron.
Thank you.